Hey there, it's Three Blind Drinks.
You do it different every time, and it screws me up. I was like expecting you to be like, this is Chris Retz.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Okay, I'll do that. Hello, everyone. This is Chris Retz.
And I'm Jack Mottman.
And this is Three Blind Drinks.
We're going to drink three whiskeys blind and get to know each other.
And who are we getting to know today?
I don't know. Who are we getting to know?
You know, guys, I'm Paul Austin.
Oh!
Just another whiskey connoisseur with no knowledge of whiskey.
Perfect. That's me.
You'll fit in well.
Yes.
Another Chris Retz.
All right,
fantastic.
You wanna drink whiskey number one?
Let's do it. Let's pour it. Let's pour whiskey number one. All right, so we have poured whiskey number one.
All right. Let's see what we got here.
A little sniff it.
There's some sniffing happening.
Ooh.
I'm
so
that thing
that I brought up before.
Empty barrel.
I get a green. It smells new to me.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I don't know what that is.
So green, I can't even remember what episode it was. It's cool. I probably don't need to. But green, I think we were talking about before. You were talking about like vegetables.
Yeah, like cooked vegetables, or like they're just like barely like touch the heat and you get that like smell. Like it's not necessarily like the asparagus smell, but it's like that thing that comes with
slightly cooked
vegetables.
Yeah. I feel like whenever you're cooking something and you throw it into the pan, there's like this like maybe 2 or 3 minutes in where you just get this whiff of whatever it was you put in the pan in its rawest form, just kind of like,
yeah, exactly,
flies up in your face. And so it's that, only having to do with like green veggies.
Yeah, anyway,
it's healthy.
It's healthy.
Thanks for starting the day off with the health kick.
Yeah. Paul, how did you come into whiskey, or did whiskey find you?
Boy, oh boy, as a kid, I think it was like a 4th of July or something like that, and my dad had a scotch bottle out, and it was open like this growler, and I put my lips on it, and I took a deep breath, and what went down my throat, I was like, holy crap, like that was one of the biggest experiences of my life, and I will never forget. I was like, okay, this is why I don't drink. That was probably like 5th grade. I was young.
Okay.
And I just, you know, just curious as a little kid, I'm like, okay, I shouldn't be doing that. And then in college, I don't know what it was, but my dad was always a whiskey drinker, and would always say, like, whiskey, if you're going to drink it straight, splash of water, ice, nothing else, because you'll have a hangover. Cool. Like, that's good to know.
Interesting, yeah.
So then in college, I tried Jägermeister, got demolished, and next thing I know, I was on to whiskey, Crown Royal.
Mm.
Okay.
From that point forward, I had an affection for whiskey, and I was like a Canadian whiskey drinker. Canadian Club, if I was cheap, you know, like Black Velvet was always one of those, and my buddies and I would drink in college and after. And then it just continued to plummet into, like, when I moved out here, the Old Fashioned to just, like, let's get a bottle and drink it.
So when you would go to the liquor store to just get a bottle, why would you get the bottle? Was it, like, the history, like, you knew this is Canadian and I like Canadian whiskey, or is this, like...
Well, at that age, cost.
Cost, okay.
Straight up, like, Black Velvet, I knew my best buddy would drink it no matter what, so that was always easy.
Yeah.
And we were about the only two that drank whiskey in our crew. Everybody else was drinking Natty Light or Pabst.
Yeah.
You guys were the
Bush
cultured.
Light.
Yeah, you guys were the cultured.
Yeah,
whiskey.
We were the outsiders,
right? That's
right. Trying to keep our figure.
The Black Velvet.
So, I've talked way too much about Brian.
You find this briny?
Very slightly.
Slightly briny.
Not hugely so.
It's like, I can't get over that new smell. It really just tastes like, I don't know, it's got something.
Also kind of, and maybe this has to do with the new smell, because like we were talking about veggies, but we were also before talking a little bit about grass. And there's something slightly floral about the smell.
I do taste
one?
That.
Yeah.
Okay.
Coming
all
right. Through right now.
I can see floral.
Suck off the roof.
I kind of want to say rose, but I don't know if that's actually...
So I like rolled it around in my mouth for a while. And it was actually... I mean, obviously there's alcohol burn, and I haven't had anything to drink, so this is the first like alcohol I'm having today. and it's hitting me like high proof. It feels like,
yes.
Oh yeah, right. Like, ooh, yeah.
I actually accidentally swallowed my first hit because I was about to talk.
Yeah.
And it went straight down the throat. I was like, oh, wow, this is bringing back my fifth grade education.
It's a sense memory podcast.
Right?
That's awesome. That first whiff. There's something really strong. Like, there's something that just kind of smacks me in the mouth about this whiskey. Mm. Like, it's assertive.
Yeah, it lingers, too. It's not, like, it doesn't disappear for me.
No.
It's got something that's like, okay, yeah, this is going to hang around. Like, I'm still kind of moving it in my mouth, and I haven't had anything to drink for a few minutes.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it lingers, and it comes strong, and it stays for a while.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
We might not have to have another drink.
Seems like
it's just
another round of whiskey number one.
So Black Velvet, then what? What did you graduate to after your Black Velvet days? Or is that, you still could be
drinking Black Velvet? No, sadly I don't still drink Black Velvet. And in my go-to is Basil Hayden.
Okay.
Where I could accidentally drink a bottle with a friend in a night.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's not an accident, that usually happens.
I don't know that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Costco sells it, you get two for $60 from time to time, and they're great 750s. It's a really good drink.
That's cool. So our dynamic is that Jack is the one who knows things.
Have you tried Basil?
Yeah, I like it.
You all right with it?
Oh yeah,
I'm okay.
It's a no. I mean, there's no anything is good.
Whatever
yeah,
you like.
Basil, and I think it's Heaven Hill, right? Do you know?
I don't know. I think it's a mix of a couple.
Oh, is it blend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Blends, but I graduated like Buffalo Trace when it first was released here like 7 years ago. I was probably big on that. And then now I've gotten into some scotches. One of my buddies brings over a bottle of, you know, like whether it's Glenfiddich or some 15 year. And we'll try that. We tried Trader Joe's 15 year maybe last week, 2 weeks ago. And I'm getting all right with that stuff.
Yeah.
The scotch I could still struggle with my childhood memory, but.
Oh, that's funny.
The, you know, if it's whiskey or some sort of 100 proof or less, I'm all right. It's when you get up in the Knob Creek that's barrel age, that's 118 proof or something like that. Struggle bringing that one down any lower.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, well, so I would imagine if you have that experience as a kid, like, you're definitely not wanting the, like, alcohol-forward burning.
I like it now. It's just a matter
of... Oh, really?
Of, yeah, get, like, the peaty stuff. Have you had the... I think you probably did the Lost Island
Distillery. Lost Island, yeah.
They had one that was very peaty.
That's one I got.
And it, but it doesn't linger.
Yeah.
The catch is like you take a drink and you're like, oh wow, that's peaty. And then 2 minutes later, you're like, next thing you know, you're drinking the whole thing because it just doesn't have a
linger.
Ongoing story for you.
Yeah.
So
this thing is just confusing me. Like
it's getting easier.
It's very distinct to me. And a little bit different. Like this is not just kind of your straightforward whiskey flavor to me. Like there's a little bit of a twist to it. But I
smell some caramelized
sensation
late now that I did not smell before.
What do you guys think about citrus? Like I don't know if that's just because of like the inherent tanniness of alcohol, that thing it does to your tongue. But what do you think?
I definitely get like caramel, like. On the stove, like you're like you're the sugars are caramel. Like I get that. I don't know if I get citrus.
I haven't found that yet.
All right.
I'm not. I think it could be there, but it also could be the alcohol burn. Like
right.
It kind of.
I mean, just put it on the tip of your tongue. There is a distinct value to this to make sure that you can taste the alcohol.
Correct. Paul, let's talk about your ideal whiskey drinking context. So you mentioned like, you know, grabbing a bottle of your favorite whiskey and drinking it with friends. Like, what does that look like? Do you have a routine or what's the...
Yeah,
what's
my
the
routine thing? Is, holy shit, I just drank a bottle of whiskey. I don't go home and drink at night because of this problem most likely, but I'm an extremist. And so if it's like, hey, let's get a drink... It usually turns into my wife asking, like, I thought you were going to get a drink. Yeah, and then, you know, we started catching up. I don't know how to say goodbye. Yes. Like, that's the hardest thing. So if you have to kick me out, Jack, just let me know, and I'll be gladly.
Yes.
But I just think I enjoy the conversation. I enjoy what it just opens up, and it's kind of old school. I looked up my grandpa, who always had a bottle of whiskey or his bar, and growing up, we'd go to it, and he had all these special whiskeys that my dad would talk about, and then he'd go home, and he'd always have a whiskey.
Mm.
And so I think those memories are kind of those, like, oh, it's a guy's thing that we do.
Yeah.
I love it when the women will drink with us and, and keep up.
Yeah.
But it's just, especially lately with kids, buddies will come over, we can open something, we'll try it. Next thing you know is, like I said, you have one rock, and next thing you know is you just start pouring it straight. And feels good. So.
Yeah, that's true. And it tastes good is the issue, you know? It's like, man, I don't necessarily want to get drunk.
Yeah.
I would like to taste some more whiskey.
Right.
You know?
That's what's so confusing and wonderful about whiskey is, for me, it's like one of my favorite drinks. It's not so much that I want to get sloshed.
Yeah,
or anything. It's just like, I like the taste.
Yes.
And I like the variety. Like you said, I've been getting into scotches a little bit longer, and I've gone on this like pendulum swing of like, I like the sweet of bourbon, and I love it, and it's delicious, but it's also got that wood thing. And then I'll go and, like, taste, like, you know, an Ardbeg or something and be like, oh, this is unlike anything you could find in America. It's just, like, completely different, but they're the same.
Old, right.
But they're the same, like, root base, and
yeah.
it's like, oh, it's so great and fascinating.
It's bizarre.
I just love the taste.
Yeah.
We have a group of four of us that tried making our own whiskey, so we have a still.
Wow.
We would gladly have you guys join us for one.
Yes,
turned
please.
Out we turned our first batch into essentially wine.
Okay. Oh.
And so it was just that we boiled over the still the first time, which is a no-no.
Wait, how's that possible?
Well, so
you
boil the mash, right?
Okay.
So let's say you put corn and little barley and put that, and you can get like 80% corn on it and make it really sweet. So you go do that, you boil it off. And then you put it in the still, and you're supposed to boil it. But we were using a turkey pan, and so the temperature wasn't something you could really control.
Oh, yeah. I see.
And so the still sits on top of it, and it's supposed to be that all the
alcohol?
Water, like it evaporates into the circle, and it rounds through, and then it goes into this next part.
Distillation.
Well, the distillation.
Yeah.
Thank you for the obvious word that
sure.
I should have known.
No.
And then we, the water just boiled up too high and got into the distillation tubes. And then it goes into the.
I see.
And
so
it waters it down.
So the corn did not turn into grapes. The.
right. No, it just ended up tasting, I think, it was the alcohol content. It was 13% instead
of
60%. And like, you have four different cuts, right? And you're not supposed to drink the head because it is deadly. And like, we were able to try it. We're like, yeah, this is not deadly. And we don't recommend that at home. But it was something that we knew when we tried. We're like, yeah, we totally ruined this whole thing. So we haven't been back.
Wow. That's so great. I think you're probably our first actual distiller. Right,
yeah.
That we've had on the show. That's amazing. That's so cool. And so you've since had batches that have worked out.
Oh no, that was
the first.
I don't know if our wives were very proud of us after that. It turned into an 8-hour ordeal.
Yeah,
and none of us went home sober because of course we were trying everything, and everybody brought something.
Yeah,
and so like that one, Redbreast was the final.
Mm.
Thing that we took, and we just spent the night by the campfire after cleaning up. We're just like, oh my, it was, so,
this is how whiskey is supposed to taste.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Got it.
Redbreast we had with Danica, that was the first one.
Oh, that's
remember,
right. That's
two
right.
brushes, or sorry, reveal.
Yeah, no, I love it.
You haven't heard this yet. The big reveal.
Yes.
But Redbreast is one of the ones that we thought tasted like bourbon
that's
on
right.
the first blush.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it does.
It does,
a lot,
absolutely.
A lot like bourbon.
It was good. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
You enjoy everything.
I know. Dang it.
I've yet to find anything Chris doesn't like.
I have no taste.
Well, you have taste.
You have great taste.
I have taste, so I can distinguish between things, but I like it all. So what do you call that? I have the same problem with movies, where I'm like, oh yeah, I can appreciate this terrible movie as a terrible movie. Mm. Like, I don't not like it because it's terrible. Because
everything has a category.
Yeah,
and it
that's
fits
right.
In its,
that's right.
What maybe it was. I think the hardest part is when you run into something that was trying to be something that it's not. And like,
yeah.
They're claiming, I can't think of a good whiskey example. Yeah. But like a movie is like, I'm important, and you're like,
right.
No, you're not
right.
Important.
Sorry.
I mean, that's why The Room is so great, right?
Yeah.
It's terrible, but he thought it was important,
mm.
And it's obviously
mm-hmm.
not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But thereby really great.
Right.
He's like, so much work because of it, though.
Oh, I know, right? Like, he's
like
a whole career off one horrible movie.
We should all be so lucky.
Right?
You know? We should all be so lucky. That's amazing. So that was your one and only
still effort.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
We've done beer, you know, making cider and stuff of that nature.
Yeah.
We also, for my wife and my wedding, one of the guys and I, he had a 15-liter barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we barrel-aged Bullet.
Nice.
And made Manhattans off of it. And we did like two bottles of bourbon, one bottle of rye
mm-hmm.
in it. And then... it must have been four bottles of bourbon, two bottles of rye, because it was 15 liters.
Mm.
So whatever that equates to, it was 6.5. And then we put two bottles of vermouth in, like maybe three. Two dry, one semi-sweet.
Yeah.
Made that. That was excellent, because we aged it for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And that was a smooth. So like, we'll play with stuff and try to do that. I have some small barrels that we put stuff in to play with once in a while. And
yeah.
So there's like five or six of us from the gym that talk about it and... dream about what our what our distillery would look like in little Yorktown, USA.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we pour whiskey number two, since you mentioned it, it came up organically. What is the gym? What is that? What is that?
Oh, Neela Athletics.
Okay.
That's where Jack and I met, and
cool.
What we do on our mornings.
Yeah.
For 1 hour, anyway.
1 hour.
Get out of the way.
You're there a lot longer than I am.
Yeah.
We're talking about CrossFit.
Right. It is a CrossFit gym, but we also do just high-intensity interval training.
And personal training.
Personal training.
Yeah.
HIIT training.
HIIT.
I've heard of that.
HIIT.
Cool.
Hooray.
Cool. These are some, I know you can't see it listening to this podcast, but these are some fine-looking gentlemen I'm sitting at the table with. So the HIIT is working, in my opinion.
It's the ability to drink whiskey that keeps us smiling.
That's right.
It's the HIIT that lets you,
right?
This week was rough.
Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's jumping lunges.
It's for two weeks in a row, Jack went four times.
Yeah.
Which has been Jack's been there for 6 years and he's a consistent 3-time-a-weeker.
Yes.
He doesn't miss Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but
yeah. Trying 4 times a week for a while, see how it goes.
Yeah. Just makes you gotta get up early.
I'm like not making coffee at home anymore, which really bothers me. That's like my biggest frustration. I don't have any time when I get back.
What about
like,
cold brew? Have you ever tried it?
I don't like cold brew.
You're not
much.
A cold brew? Oh,
you know what really helps you to get up early is drinking a lot of whiskey the night before.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing
yes.
better than...
and a cold shower.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nothing makes me feel like I want to work out more than...
Right.
Yeah.
All right, what would you guys name this if you had to give
oh,
it
oh,
yeah,
name? That's
I forgot
right.
about the whiskey or drink.
Thank you, Jack. I almost forgot. I almost moved on to number two.
I know, I was ready, and then I remember.
Naming number one. We haven't really come down on a tasting note, right?
No.
Like, it's so
I mean, it tastes
interesting
to me. I don't think it's.
I mean, we've all finished our little tasters, and just like with every other whiskey, whenever I smell the empty glass, all I smell is the barrel.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's the only thing. That's
the woodiness
left.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think if I were to name it, I'd call it like. You know, caramelized green or something
okay.
something to do with like a burnt green vegetable. I don't
ooh.
Know why.
Caramel broccoli.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Caramel chives. What's like
caramel
the freshest
wow.
what's the freshest greenest smell?
I like chives. That's actually maybe the smell that I'm
yeah.
that I'm like trying to grab onto.
And that's where
okay.
the grass that you saw
yeah.
early too is the chives have a mixture of that sweet little
yeah.
Sweet, I can go with that.
Sweet chives.
Sweet chive. We're calling this sweet chives. No more words, Chris. Chris will now go for an hour.
About how we can add more
we
to
can
it.
Just, like, make it longer and longer and longer.
It's not very catchy after 2 minutes.
Jack usually doesn't have to cut me off alcohol-wise, but in terms of describing or naming me, the whiskey, he has to cut me off.
Yeah,
so.
I do.
And that's why you're one of the hosts.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
All right, should we do number two?
Number two. All right, so whiskey number two has been poured. As has become custom, let's talk about color right now.
This is red. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty red. It's... I tend to think of things in terms of the color of various beers.
Mm.
So this kind of looks like a red ale.
Yeah, almost. Like Killian's Irish Red.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's right. Who knows if it's an Irish whiskey?
Yeah.
I see it's Newcastle.
Yeah, it looks Newcastle-y. Mm. How's the taste?
Mm-hmm.
I like the smell a lot. Mm-hmm. It's really attractive.
Yeah, so it's, for me, it's like super alcohol forward.
It smells almost like vodka, where there's a rubbing alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I don't know if that means that it's high proof, per se, but like, that's biggest thing.
I felt on the nostril. Not on the tongue, though, I didn't feel that.
Oh, I have the opposite. I don't smell it, but I taste it. It tastes high proof to me.
Interesting.
But like the smell to me was just like, oh, this is caramel and apples. Like that's kind
of. I do feel like.
All right, Johnny Appleseed.
In terms of the smell,
it's Jack.
When
Jack Appleseed, my bad.
It's Jack.
My father is John.
In terms of the smell, like this does, like there was something a little strange, a little unique about the first one. This one just, if I was just to smell this and they were like, what is this? I'd be like, oh, that's whiskey.
Oh, okay.
It just, whatever whiskey smells like.
So, like, Chris, we're slowly teaching you.
Right.
What do you think it is? Like, do you think it's a bourbon, a rye, a scotch?
Extremely slowly, yeah. So.
For a reason. I want to keep trying everything.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Well,
that's
I'll never commit. I'll never
give in.
It's in my interest to stay ignorant for as long as possible. So, okay, here's how I'm kind of stratifying things right now. No.
It's not words.
Jack's shaking his head. Okay. Here's where things lay out in my mind right now. When I say bourbon,
mm-hmm.
what I mean is this kind of caramely sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
And I also tend to mean that it's a little less interesting, although that's probably unfair to bourbon.
Mm.
When I say rye, I mean, yes, caramely sweetness, but undercut by something that's a little bit more hard to, like, put my finger on.
Mm.
And I think a lot about, like, rye bread and how there's that kind of strangely bitter, intriguing flavor to rye bread. There's some sort of thing that undercuts the sweetness in a rye. And then when I think of scotch, I think of something that just really does not taste anything like.
So it's just not the other two.
It's like if I drink a whiskey and I'm like, what is that? That's weird. Like, that's not what I was expecting at all. Then I tend to think scotch.
Hmm.
I definitely equate like that briny salt water type flavor to scotch. So whatever this is, I definitely wouldn't say it's a scotch.
Yeah, I'm
a scotch blend on this is what I feel.
You feel Ooh. Scotch blend.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
But I'm an outsider.
No, I like the contrary.
I have yet to taste it.
Oh, you should taste it.
Oh, well, that's your mistake.
Yeah, you talk too much.
You asked a question.
Shut up.
Wow.
Yeah? What do you think now, smart guy?
I will say I love it.
Ah.
So it must be a rye.
I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't think it's a scotch.
Something about rolling it around takes me away from bourbon.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. It could be an Irish. It could be...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When something is sweet like that, but it doesn't like hit you in the face with caramel... I go to, like, Irish.
Yeah, I could... That sure. could be what I'm missing, is it
yeah.
is Irish.
I mean, I think you pushed me there with your saying it's Scott, like, it could be Scotch blend. But I feel like it's also too dark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, the color is too dark for me to call it Scotch.
Yeah.
So I was talking about, like, citrus last time, and I don't know, that might have been ridiculous, but there was something like kind of slightly tangy about that last one.
Yeah, there was.
This one's so much more like round.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yes.
This one feels like it's got like a profile. It's like it's got like
yeah.
a, they're trying to do with something, and this is what they're doing, and they have like
yeah.
this target they're hitting. Whereas the other one I felt was more spiky. It was like kind of out there and a little crazy.
Yes.
And
yeah.
I think that's why I call it, like, that's why I think it's young. When I say young or new, that's, I think, maybe where I'm coming from is
ooh.
It hasn't spent enough time in the barrel to, like, mellow.
Yep.
Oh, man, this is getting, okay, I'm about to get real obscure here, gang. But young people tend to kind of not really be super sure of who they are yet, right? And they try to kind of like, sometimes, I was certainly this way, try on like different personas, right? To be like, oh, maybe this is me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, well, maybe this is me, you know? Maybe that's a little bit of a young whiskey that we're picking up when we say young.
I think that's interesting.
Whereas like a whiskey that's more mature maybe has a little bit more of a defined character.
But like I think also the business gets involved, right? Like, if you're going to age something for a long period of time, it better be something. Otherwise, you're wasting your time and your money not selling it earlier.
Yeah.
Totally. And from a marketing standpoint, like, you want something to taste not just unique, but, like, sure of itself, for lack of a better...
Man, I hope we're wrong. I hope the first one is like 20 years old.
Right? That'll be great. Yeah, if we spend 30 minutes talking about the difference between the old whiskey and the...
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this one just... It has a great post experience.
It does. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to drink.
It is so easy to drink that I'm about gone.
Yeah.
These guys are still full.
I mean, take a little.
This is my problem.
So
this is your problem. This is your cross to bear.
It tastes so good. What's up with this out on, guys?
So we talked a little bit about context. Jack and I tend to return to this topic a lot of like where we would drink a certain whiskey.
Oh, yeah. Like, where would you drink this? Like,
what scenario?
Edison?
I'm going to Edison for this.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's good. Have you been to the Edison?
No. So is this a bar?
Yeah.
Again, our dynamic is that Jack knows things. and I have not been to the... No. I have not been to the Edison. Tell me about
like
Edison.
It's just one of the... Like, one of the... I'm not going to say original bars, but one of those, like, first comers 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just... It's downstairs in an old Edison building.
Oh, I've heard of this, actually,
believe
it or not.
It's got a bar with... It makes you feel like you're going to Europe, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Someplace that, like, I think of Prague.
Oh, that's perfect. I've never been to Prague, but that's
perfect.
No,
yeah, you walk downstairs and you go into these places and it's kind of chiseled out bricks. You're like, oh, like, what is it? And then you go into, like, special rooms.
Yeah,
so
it's
like,
if you want a table, you have to commit to spending like $1,000.
That's not Prague. go to Prague on the flight for $1,000 and they spend $20 in the bar.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right. It's like the cork service. What do they call that? Or
bottle
whatever?
Service.
Bottle service, yeah.
Right.
Where they're like, oh, it's another way of saying you owe us $1,000 before you start.
Real,
yeah.
Right.
Does it feel like you're going somewhere that's like hidden?
It's in
is
an alleyway.
That,
to
is
get
that
in
part
here?
Of it?
Yes.
Is like this mystique of like you're discovering something that not everyone knows is there?
Yeah. That's probably how they started out, but I think they just went downstairs and they saw these like a boiler room.
Yeah.
And the guys that were way smarter than me, like, holy shit, this right here, people would get wasted and nobody would know they're here.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Let's go get drunk.
There's like some steampunk stuff going on. Yeah.
Metal stuff from, you know, and then like they throw old movies on and things like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
cool.
It's cool. Like I think that was the first place I had Basil Hayden's.
Yeah.
Because friends were in town and, you know, it was one of those things where it's like, oh, let's go to the Edison. And like everybody gets dressed up. They like act like you should be in the 1920s or whatever.
Exactly.
And it feels sort of speakeasy-ish like Paul was describing. And this friend who was like, you know, he was like a friend of a friend, but he, you know, was fastly friend. And he's like, oh, you guys got to try Basil Hayden. And I never had it. And I just remember thinking, like, this is easy drinking. Like, this is delightful. It's not intense. It's not in your face, but it's like a wonderful whiskey.
Mm. Hence why I drink a bottle at a time.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just trying to give you an out.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate you.
At the Edison. Who are you at the Edison with while you're drinking this whiskey that we haven't named yet?
You guys.
Oh, great.
Let's do this for real, right?
So, new friends. You're at the Edison with new friends, and you're in like an underground place, kind of hidden away from the rest of the world. You have any amount of time, right, that you can spend. And is this a slow drinker?
Well, not for Paul.
I was going to say, if it's whiskey, there isn't much slow about it, guys.
Paul does not drink slowly.
No. I drink my water fast, I drink my whiskey faster.
Same.
If it's colored, it's on point for me.
I think I'm the same, actually. I think I'm the same way. Okay, so this just popped into my head.
There's some cinnamon to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've talked about in past podcasts how suggestible I am, mm-hmm. and how whenever anyone says anything, I'm immediately like, yes. But when Paul just said cinnamon, that is perhaps the strongest inclination I've ever had to agree with someone. This is
This
is why we're going to Edison together.
Yeah,
I totally. Yeah, absolutely. Right down to, you know how cinnamon's like kind of spicy.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it.
This changed in the glass for me. It went from like, okay, yeah, and now I'm like really digging it. It's really something special. I don't know what it is.
It was an aha moment for me on that.
I agree.
Yeah.
I love it. I will be shocked if... I definitely like this more than the first one. Not that the first one was bad.
Yeah.
I'll be shocked if I like the third one better than this one. This is a delicious whiskey, in my opinion.
It's very nice.
I'm kind of like you going to movies. Everything's good.
Yeah.
So I never try to compare early on what's going to be better or worse, because I'm going to still say, yeah, it was pretty good.
It was all good.
Yeah.
It was all good.
This one is something that you pour a little extra.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And it's not even like the super sweet kind of cinnamon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not like
it's
a
not
red
like
hot
cinnamon sugar.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right. It's just like the spice cinnamon.
It's not Fireball, guys.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Totally agree. Couldn't agree more. I was thinking about the smell,
mm-hmm.
and how really all I could taste on the nose, the taste on the nose. Really all I could smell was kind of the alcohol of the whiskey, but then you taste it in this kind of this very full, very rich experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, well, the nose on this one kind of strikes me as something that like is not necessarily you enjoy apart from the taste. Like the nose is just whatever the nose has to be in order for the taste to be what it is. Like the experience of drinking this one to me is, I would say, like 99% of the
experience.
Of drinking this whiskey.
This is a random story. I was at a park this morning in Manhattan Beach. Some ladies randomly like pop up and they have four cases of something called Zent. S-Z-E-N-T.
Mm.
And so we're pushing my kids on the swings while we're kind of waiting, and girls come up to us like, you want to try this? And well, actually, first, I look it up because I'm a nosy son of a gun. I'm like, what is this? And it talks about that there's a cap on it that is a scent, and that 80% of what you smell is what you taste.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And so then I was like, okay. And then, of course, the girl's walking over to us and is going to ask us if we want some, so I put my phone away quick. And she's like, you guys want to try this? And she's like, we're like, yeah, we'll try it. And then they say the mint, tangerine, pineapple, and some other kind, right? Passion fruit. So we get a couple, and they're like, you want us to tell you? They're like, you have to take a drink. And we're like, all right. So we take the drink.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you taste the mint is what I got? And my wife got the passion fruit. And my wife's like, no, not really. And I felt the mint. The mint was instant.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, well, 80% of your nose is what you actually intake. And so this water is just plain water.
Mm.
Whoa.
But the cap is telling you the story of what you're going to drink into your mouth.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
And so it was all about this guy trying to get his kids to drink more water.
Hmm.
And so he created Zent.
Hmm.
So it's an LA-based water that was pretty cool, though, where we're talking about nose and how you're like,
yes.
Usually the nose tells me, and now it's like, this one, my mouth tells me for sure it's it.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That is super interesting.
Yeah.
Having kids who don't ever want to drink water, I think that product is going to make $1 million.
My daughter was drinking the passion fruit. We put it in the back seat on the way home. She's like, where's my water bottle? We're like, it's in the trunk. Nobody's drinking it, are they? Like, no, nobody's drinking it. You'll get it when you get to mom and papa's. Okay.
Wow, so that's so
it did work. She's two.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then they don't have to add any crazy stuff to the water.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's just water. Yeah. Wow.
It was impressive.
That
now, if they did that for whiskey, and I could stay sober all day, I would be a working alcoholic.
Yeah.
But like, not, because you'd be sober.
I'd
so
be sober,
fine.
Right.
Yeah, you'd be good.
It's like,
you'd
if
good.
Cigarettes weren't bad for me, I would smoke all day long.
But cigarettes don't ever taste good.
They taste good to me.
Do they? Oh,
yeah.
Okay, I respect that.
I think, yeah, I think there are, I agree, I don't get the taste. I sometimes get the taste of cigars.
Yeah.
But I've never, to be fair, I haven't smoked many cigarettes, but I've never understood the taste aspect of a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Some
of it's nostalgia, some of it's like college, that sort of thing, but some of it's just like, I like it.
Did you like it when you started? Like, your first couple, when you try it, you're like, oh, this tastes, like...
I think when I started, which was college, it was, like, social. It was like, oh, everybody's doing it, like, it's cool.
Hmm. Northwest Iowa, everybody does everything wrong.
Yes, we do.
I'm
Southwest Minnesota, right?
So I came of age in Phoenix, Arizona, and I felt like it was like, junior high school. When really everyone started smoking.
Mm.
And I don't know if it was just the PSAs on TV, but it felt like it was like, oh, well, we're smoking to be cool. Not necessarily for any other reason. Like,
how old are you?
So I am 36, going to be 37 in August.
They didn't have the PSAs where I come from. And I'm the same age, and I don't remember. Do you remember PSAs, Jack?
Really?
I don't know about smoking.
No, like,
I remember this
Marvel
is
Man.
On drugs.
The caramel or the Camel Lights with the camel, like,
yeah.
My dad collected all this stuff. We'd have cool camel, like, beach stuff. We were the coolest.
And my dad smoked a pipe until I was, like, I don't know, probably, like, in my 20s. So, like, it was just always there. It was always a thing. And his pipe smoke smells amazing. So that's
probably
part of that. So.
Yeah. Have you guys, I mean, this is more of a thing with, like, other alcohols, but any thoughts on smoking with whiskey? Is that enjoyable for y'all at all?
I find it detracts, especially like, because people will say they love to smoke a cigar and have a whiskey, but I feel like the smoke overpowers. Unless you're doing like a smoky whiskey,
right?
Like if you're gonna have something like this, I don't. It feels like it would just get in the way. Like I would prefer to prioritize the whiskey over the smoking.
Sure.
Second.
Okay.
I get green on if I do cigars on.
You're done.
Yeah, my uncle collects, he's in Arizona, he has a humidor in his wall. It's unreal.
Whoa.
And it's always like, oh, you need a cigar. I'm like, dude, just give me your best scotch or whiskey you have on the table and I'll do that
and I'm good.
Save you $30.
Yeah.
The cigar you give me, you know?
Yeah, that's great.
But it's one of those that I can't do. And they all do. They love the cigar with the scotch or whiskey.
Interesting.
You?
So again, I wonder. No, like I've you know maybe had a dozen cigars in my life
right.
or something. Like I'm definitely not a regular cigar smoker. And there's been times when I've had a cigar and I've just been like, "Why the hell am I doing this? This is disgusting."
Yeah.
But there's been other times when I've had one and I've been like, "Oh, this is cool." Like I can taste why this is fun and.
Yeah.
It has, I guess it has everything to do with taste.
I enjoy chewing on it, or like having it in my mouth, not necessarily like chawing on it, right?
Yeah.
But playing round of golf, and I'll put one, I just won't smoke it.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, so I wonder how much of it has to do with like the image of just the dude in a smoking jacket with a cigar and a drink in his hand.
Yeah.
Like how much of it is just, I want to look like that guy.
Yeah.
And how much of it is, like, I'm actually physically enjoying whatever is going on, you know, on my taste buds right now.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think it is the image.
And so much also with cigars, the nose, right? Like,
oh, it just smells great.
Bringing it back. It smells it smells pretty amazing.
But if you're doing that, the pipe is...
The pipe's
the way
to go.
Like, that is gold standard
for
a great
good.
Scent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
All right. What are we calling this? No smell deliciousness.
A heavenly affair.
Ooh, man. Heavenly affair.
I love it. It's so, yeah, it's romantic. It kind of sweeps you away. I was, like, bringing it back to, like, the nose versus the taste.
Mm-hmm.
I was just kind of blown away because smelling it, I'm just like, whoa, alcohol. And then tasting it, I'm like, what is this delicious beverage? So, affair. Yeah.
Heavenly affair.
What did you think? If you, because you didn't smell it, you tasted the alcohol.
I did.
What's your feeling on that?
I found that as it mellowed, as it sat in the glass, I grew to love it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, I was actually finding melted ice cream and cinnamon.
Ooh.
Like, yeah. That was just like, I don't know what it is. Like, that got sweeter as it sat. And like, and maybe the alcohol sort of dissipated. I don't know if there's anything that happened there or if I just got used to it. But
ice cream meaning like vanilla, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Vanilla bean.
I almost said vanilla bean.
And like cinnamon. Like,
absolutely.
There's something magic there.
At the end of the day, isn't that kind of what you're after 100%. When you... Yeah,
for me,
like,
basil is very similar to that. There's some vanilla-ish.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's as much cinnamon this has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But man, this was smooth.
Yeah.
A nice little... Like, the roof of my tongue was almost tingling at points early on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of opened up.
Gotta say, I'm a fan. I love
Ready
it.
To move on?
Yeah, heavenly affair.
All right.
So number three has been poured much lighter.
Much heavier pour, I mean, it feels like, but they all ended the same.
Yeah, that's true.
This one I smell alcohol.
This is, yeah.
Whoa!
This one I get the green again. I'm going to let it sit.
I smell Irish on this.
Okay.
So I was going to say, like, going back to my very uninformed kind of, what is the word I keep looking for? Something having to do with, like, stratus or... Anyways, whatever.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter. Going back to my, like, very uninformed kind of opinion on bourbons versus ryes versus scotch, this makes me go, huh, that's interesting, which my mind immediately goes to scotch whenever I have
if
that
If you
experience.
Can't place it, it goes to scotch.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, too, because scotch has got the most variety within itself, like...
Really? Why so?
Well, like, just...
Five regions?
There's all the regions,
okay.
And, like, you get a lot of different...
Is it five?
Yeah, I think so. Four or five.
I was guessing from the first podcast.
That sounds great.
Because he started talking about
it. I immediately believe you, so we're gonna...
I think it's four, but then I think there's some argument about, like, if one or two of them overlap.
Okay.
How's it taste?
Wow, I almost don't want to smell it too much because there's something really distinct about it that I'm trying to figure out that I can't put my finger on for the life of me.
I don't know what to do with this. It is alcohol heavy or strong.
Like, there's something...
A little peatiness, but not enough to grasp. Like, I feel the grassy...
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
the green thing.
All right, mm-hmm. just humor me here, fellas. Hold your nose about 2 inches from it.
Okay.
And take just, like, a slight sniff.
Right.
There's, like, a thing that's... It's not alcohol. It's not even sweet. And I kind of want to use something really unflattering to describe it, like rotten banana peel or something.
Oh,
like,
that's a corn mash.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
That's what I'd say. I mean, that smells like our failed effort.
Really? Okay. So that kind of, like, wet, I guess the mash thing, that, like, wet, almost kind of rotty type smell, you're thinking is the corn mash that was used to make it?
I wonder if this is, like, super young, like, barely aged.
Yeah, I do believe that. It's under a year.
It's, like, really young, like,
it's almost like
American.
Moonshine.
Yeah, like, almost the moonshine.
But it's still trying to figure out who it is.
Barrel aged quickly for a little color.
Mm-hmm.
That's so interesting.
Well, so, like, I've talked about this before, but just for your edification, I did, like, the wood stave aging thing. Have you ever heard of that or seen that?
I have chips.
Yeah, so I tried it with White Dog, a Buffalo Trace's new make.
Okay.
And so that's like, my reference point, and that's what I'm getting. And banana was, so I kept track for 7 days, right? How did it change every day? And bananas was the thing I kept coming back to. Is
okay.
Rotten bananas or like new or like banana smell or like you just break into a banana.
Yeah.
Like that kept coming back.
Yeah.
And I'm getting that in this. And again, maybe I'm suggestible, but
I think that's what he said off of the suggestion.
Yeah.
This is bizarre, but like this is okay, so we've had a few that taste nothing like they smell like. This is overwhelming to me. Like it overwhelmingly tastes like what it that thing I was trying to pick up on is like by far the most overwhelming.
Yeah.
The reason I'm laughing is because Paul right now is having a very visceral reaction to whatever. What are you experiencing
now? I just made something feel like it was 165 proof.
Okay.
I mean, that was whatever I just took in, opened up. I had it in my mouth for probably 10 seconds and brought it down, and it just.
So
intense.
We'll call it rotten banana, for lack of a better phrase right now, but whatever that is, it was like slight on the nose, and it's like
it's in there.
It's the strongest, it's the most forward flavor, as I said.
Yeah.
This is bizarre. It's like
this
interesting
is,
to the max.
This is like not something I could have a lot of.
Right.
But I'm glad to taste it.
Yeah. Yes.
Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Like I would want to maybe sit with this longer. But I don't, like, it's not, this is a weird thing to say, but it's, like, not as enjoyable because it's not as easy, but then that also makes it more enjoyable because I have to think about it more.
Right.
So it's kind of got, like, both sides of that.
It's a great tasting, like, if you're going to whatever tasting room, and this is one of those that's on there, and you get to talk about it and kind of learn that you're, like, aha, like, all right, like, it was only 6 months, and
it's gonna stand
out. This is awesome.
Yeah.
For only taking 6 months to age, that means that we could get this twice a year.
Yeah.
Let's start making barrel age number threes.
Yeah, whatever number three is.
This is definitely gonna stand out. Like, in the middle of a tasting, this is the one that you're gonna remember the most, I think, just because it's extremely unique.
Yeah.
I don't know that I know for sure I haven't had a whiskey that tastes even remotely like this on this podcast.
What do you think of it? Like, what's your?
I don't think I like it. Right?
Okay.
Like, I don't mean to.
You already decided that after number two, Chris. It was clear
you
that
said,
you weren't gonna like it.
You said I will hate number three.
Damn it.
Well, we got tape.
I prejudge.
Roll it back. It's not tape, bro. That's 80s. That's 80s.
I prejudge.
This is tape. I don't know if I told you.
Oh, really?
Tape.
Oh, this is even more special now.
Yeah, I don't think I like it. I don't think I like it, but it is very unique. It's an extremely different experience.
I can taste the corn mash.
Yeah,
very clear.
I think. I think you're right. I think there's something. This is new, and it's corn.
Does that mean it's bourbon, then?
Bourbon is just 51% corn.
Right.
So probably bourbon, but not an old...
It's a very new bourbon.
Very new bourbon,
yeah.
Is what we're thinking. So that's cool, because we can see how correct your prognostications are.
But it's also, like, it's strong.
Yeah.
It's very strong,
that,
yeah.
You know?
Well, and I imagine if... You're going to, I don't know, this is how I might market it. If it doesn't taste great, at least it's, like, going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
You know?
It's mixable.
Yeah.
It's ready.
Oh, you mix this with something?
Oh, yeah.
Like, because there's some interesting flavors in there.
The
like,
flavor is so distinct, though.
It's getting
like,
better,
what
yes.
do you...
Yeah, it is getting better. No, I agree. I let mine sit. It gets better.
Yeah.
All right. No, that's great. I love it. I don't know if I agree, but hold on. Give me a second.
You can leave.
How did you replace Chris as a host? Well, he
so
didn't
once,
like one whiskey.
He always predicted what he didn't want. He put it out there.
That guy really doesn't like bananas.
Yeah,
yeah right. Rotten bananas.
Let's start there.
It's fascinating.
So I'm getting more of what I think is the scotchiness, which is like the kind of like slightly brininess. Maybe peat is like a good way to describe it, but I don't know if that like
I felt that early.
Okay,
yeah.
The peaty I felt early, and I don't know if it's.
I don't get peat, but
yeah.
I know I think what you guys are tasting like I think I get it.
It's so distinct.
Thanks for being agreeable.
There's like this just I keep wanting to describe flavors as though they're actual, like, physical objects, which is weird mm-hmm. to me. But there's just this, like, hard, blunt flavor in this that just kind of, like, you're, like, kind of on this interesting journey, and then it just kind of stops you dead. It's weird.
If this would have been number one, would there have been a different mindset on that?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it's certainly possible. We've talked about that a lot, like, just, and a lot of the time we've talked about it in terms of the third one, you kind of have this bias that it's going to be the best one,
yeah.
because it's the last one you try, and so there's something subconscious in you that wants to be like, oh, this is the best, because
yeah.
it's the third, right? Which obviously...
Not the case. That yeah. that for sure.
This one's interesting to me. Like I said, I don't think I could, like, drink a bottle... Paul style, but it is something I would probably keep around and, like, maybe, like you said, in a tasting, like, show people, like,
yeah.
oh, you gotta try this.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
just taste a little. Like, you don't need a lot of this. It's like, it doesn't...
For a new person that's a whiskey drinker, or a bourbon drinker, to, like, do an Oban or something like that,
yeah.
like, just put a little bit of this in your glass to know what Irish scotch tastes like
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
Know, like,
I will say, I've talked about music in the past and how, like, you know, especially when you were young, sometimes you were introduced to a band or, like, a piece of music and you were like, huh, I didn't know music could do that.
Yeah.
And, like, you didn't necessarily like it for that reason. Maybe you did. But it was more just that, like, it didn't really occur to you that music could kind of head in this direction. And I feel that way a little bit about this whiskey. It's like, wow. I didn't know that whiskey could do that. That's pretty interesting. So, and I appreciate that, you
yeah.
know,
mm-hmm.
even if I don't want to necessarily drink barrels of this, it is different. Like, it does make me want to kind of think about it.
Chris and I are still shaking ours around while Jack is plentiful, gone.
I like, something about this is, it's got me a little bit.
I love it. So Paul, I want to ask this question. Because you're very different from Jack and I, and also I would like to say a lot of our guests, insofar as your grandfather was a whiskey drinker,
yes.
and your father was a whiskey drinker, and Jack and I both have talked about how, like, our parents were kind of, like, Jack's, it seems like, were kind of, like, ambivalent towards alcohol.
Yeah, they drank, but not much.
I think mine were actually, like, openly antagonistic to alcohol. I think both of them had maybe borderline alcoholics in the family, and so that might be one reason they were kind of openly antagonistic to it. And we've run into a lot of guests who kind of have that same experience with it. But so, like, what was that like having... a father and a grandfather who kind of knew not only how to approach alcohol responsibly, but also, like, could
enjoy
it. Well,
I don't know, responsibly. Like, let's clarify this here. My grandfather, I think if you think of Mad Men in small town Midwest, Minnesota.
Okay.
He grew up in South Dakota and then moved to Minneapolis. He was a car dealer. But he was also a car dealer that was a mayor of our hometown.
Oh, wow.
And so he was a really good, like, leader,
mm, yeah.
but also sold cars, which is very weird, especially then, because of the used car salesman analogy. And so I think he was just kind of that blue collar, but with a tie, that knew how to take care of business and would be up there in those, like, we were a ton of 5,000 people, you know,
yeah.
so
yeah.
that, and my dad kind of just followed suit, but my parents didn't drink, they drank if it was, like, a special occasion, and
sure.
he would drink the whiskey or hang out with his friends, he would go back to old school days and drink a lot. They moved to Scottsdale 10 years ago.
Oh, cool.
And he transitioned to gin because he said he started, like, feeling bad. Like, vodka was one thing he would never drink, and he would always talk about it. I had the same experience, like, 26, where I was... My hands would swell up.
Mm.
And so, even though vodka was, like, supposed to be this clear drink, and everybody was like, oh, yeah, it's better.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there's no way. And that was, like, a very clear line for me, where I was like, oh, whiskey doesn't give me any of those issues. I'm sticking to the whiskey.
Huh.
Type experience, you know.
So did you have this kind of, like, I don't know, a rite of passage experience where your father was like, hey, here's whiskey. You know,
we never talked about it. No,
okay.
Like they. We. I grew up in a strict household. I would say in a lot of ways, but my dad always made the mistakes. I think he would say like, "Oh, I made all the mistakes, and then I want to make sure you guys didn't make them."
Okay.
And you know, like now that marijuana is legal,
yeah,
I used to tell my dad, like, smoke the good cigarette instead of the bad cigarette because he smoked marijuana when I was growing up, but I didn't know what it was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, those things, I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And when they moved to Arizona, he gave it up because he didn't have a contact. And in 2007, it wasn't legal.
Right.
And they'd come out here and visit. And he'd, like, go into the weed shops and be like, gosh, you can, like, just get this stuff. This is unreal. You know?
Yeah.
But
it is unreal.
Those are things that, to him, guy from the 50s, is like, holy shit. Like,
yeah,
this world has evolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we get Scotch. He, for example, he will go to BevMo or wherever and ask the guys. One of my favorite whiskeys that I rarely have is called Wathen's.
Okay.
And he just asked, he's like, my son likes a good bourbon. What would you recommend? And he's like, oh, this is a higher proof, but it's really smooth. And I think it's like 114. And it is straight. Like, throw an ice cube in there, and you are going to, not even a block, like just one cube from your old refrigerator.
Yeah.
It will take your mind away. So, like, we share those things, but now he's like, tequila or gin are his two things that he'll drink, more aromatic type flavors. But he has always been straight on it. And he doesn't drink, my mom drinks more than he does now in their age. He's like, I don't like the way I feel in the morning.
Mm. Yeah, sure.
Like, simply put, I just don't get up feeling good.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I follow my dad's footsteps. We don't know when to say no. We're like, oh, there's drinks on the table. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Let's have a good night.
Yeah.
And we'll worry about the consequences tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I do think those are our extreme issues that both of us would say, like, we just enjoy the communal conversation.
Yeah.
Along with, it tastes really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it tastes really good, and it's not like, maybe it tastes good the way that, like, Dr. Pepper tastes good, but it doesn't taste good the way Dr. Pepper tastes good because of the way Dr. Pepper tastes good. Like, Dr. Pepper tastes good because they put a ton of sugar in it, you know, and it's like this chemically manipulated substance that's like designed to taste good. Whereas whiskey, there's just like much history and so much work behind it.
Yeah.
And the way that it tastes is so precise based off of just years of tradition, right? There's something so much more interesting about, I think, tasting a whiskey than there is, like, you know.
I think that is probably one of the biggest things that my parents and even my sister and now my wife get to be a part of is when we go together and have a drink.
Yeah.
It's a celebration, and we all have that, like, it's not to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
It's just real conversation of, hey, let's celebrate.
Yeah.
And this is a special occasion. We're all going to have a nice drinking.
Yeah.
Whether my mom drinks her Canadian Club and my sister and dad drink their gin, my wife will drink whatever, she'll drink whiskey with me or whatever.
Yeah.
She's a game for all those things. It's just fun to be able to collaborate and then share the drink and be like, oh, this is why I like this, or laugh about the stories of when you go to the Caribbeans and drink too much rum.
Mm-hmm.
And something happens.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's like, so this is why I like this. If you actually really liked number three, which I'm still on the fence about, but if you actually really liked it, it would be fun to be like a huge jerk about it, right? And like go around everyone and be like, all right. Taste this.
This is gonna put hair in your chest.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the truth.
That's right. Yeah. You can have your little, you know, sweet chive or whatever, but like, this is the real stuff, right? It would be fun to be kind of like a, you know.
So this one, naming it, I'm just gonna say it's called the True Banana.
True Banana. I like it.
This is the True Banana.
All right, so we have Sweet Chive. We have, what was it? Heavenly
Affair.
Affair and the True Banana.
True Banana.
I love it. Those are great.
Do we rate them?
Those are great names.
Pick your favorite.
So we certainly can.
Favorite's easy.
Number two?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
I don't mean that to be easy. I just think
it was
so...
it was a fun tasting, but number two
celebratory.
Is just...
That's
Yeah.
In my head, there's no question. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Like, I haven't had as strong a reaction on this show as I have. Like, I've always been like, oh, that's interesting, or oh, this is really nice. But yeah, when we were tasting Heavenly Romance, I was like, oh.
He always changes it.
Sorry, Heavenly
Romance
Affair. Affair.
Romance is at least straight. Like, affair is like, you got something going on that you probably shouldn't have. But that's,
yeah, Heavenly Romance is even better.
No, but I like Affair because it's forbidden, right? Like, romance is okay. Affair is not. But yeah, I was like, oh, this is my jam right here. Yeah. Yeah. Number two, for sure.
I would have taken three next. I think that was a little better than the Sweet Chive.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Something about number three, after it sat for a bit, it got interesting.
Mm-hmm.
How's the smell? Like, how's your wood glass?
Yes. So, it's gone. I can still smell it. It's not just the wood. Yeah, it's the whatever that weird...
What we call banana, I think it's corn.
Yeah.
Could be corn, but like the corn...
It's actually
a sour mash.
It's like a nostalgic
thing. It's good.
Yeah. Now here.
That's really interesting.
Chris wants to add more sniffing sounds.
Yeah. those are not added in after.
Yeah.
Those are true sniffing sounds.
That's right. Those are authentic sniffing sounds. So it's really interesting, actually, because I don't think we've had a whiskey yet where I've smelled the empty glass and I could smell anything besides just like the barrel.
Yeah.
So that's not nothing.
That's interesting.
That's Jack's hit right there, where he said it was very limited on the age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
But Carl's show to prove that.
All right, so we just did the tasting.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It was delicious.
You are welcome.
All right, so number one, we are calling...
Sweet Chive.
Sweet Chive.
Okay.
Number two was Heavenly Romance.
Oh, Affair.
Or Affair. Not sure in the actual. And then number three, we're calling the True Banana.
All right, the True Banana. Not the False Banana.
No, it's the True Banana.
The one banana.
Not 99 bananas.
It's like the Neo Banana.
Exactly.
The chosen one.
So what have we had?
Okay, so I do not have me, currently on a rooftop deck drinking in Venice.
Yes!
Yes, the Irwin.
Yes, that's exactly where I am.
My bad.
I love that Paul just, or no, that Billy just described the surroundings, and Paul immediately knew where he was. That's actually.
There's only one good hotel bar in
on
a rooftop in Venice.
I love it. That's great.
Yes, but fortunately, I still know in general what you're drinking.
Okay, good.
So, number one was called Baby Blue. It is a corn whiskey.
Balcones.
Yeah, that is nice. Halfway between a white corn whiskey and a fully aged and developed whiskey.
Okay.
Wow, how do you have halfway between those two things?
Oh.
So, like a white corn whiskey is no barrel aging. It's just straight moonshine.
Okay.
Which was inspired by a rumor that somebody was distilling spirits in a moonshiny fashion. Number two is True Blue, which is the same whiskey as number one, except fully aged.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
That's cool.
So how do you feel about the difference between number one and number two?
We liked number two. Number two was our favorite by far. Number one was kind of forgettable. I think all of us were kind of grasping at what it was.
Mm. Yeah, number two might be my favorite whiskey that we've had, like, in any of the episodes thus far. I'm not sure about that, but...
I drink a fair amount of whiskey. I think it was pretty darn amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's something to talk about.
All right. Well, I have a sad story for you.
No, 2 years takes too long to make any money.
And then number three
is a yellow corn whiskey from Mexico. There's this growing movement to basically start making corn whiskeys in a similar to a mezcal style.
Okay.
Which I don't know actually fully understand what that entails.
Okay.
But when I was reading the reviews on it, the reviews were extremely bipolar. People either loved it or thought it tasted like chemicals.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
That's pretty accurate.
2 out of 3.
Yeah. That's
also
much,
yeah. Also the corn, like I kept saying rotten banana, and obviously I have no clue what I'm talking about. But Paul and Jack were both like, no, that's actually corn mash is what you're tasting. And so
yeah.
The corn was definitely, I guess, super
yeah.
super forward in this one.
One person I was reading online was
talking
about how they love the taste but can't stand the smell.
Yeah. Funny.
Yeah.
So, you guys are welcome for that. I throw that in here a lot.
Oh, can I? So
the sad story is that the third one was only selected because the original third I picked from the whiskey store ended up being out of stock after I placed my order.
Oh.
The
oh.
third one was by the same company as the first two.
Yeah.
It is the same product as the second one, except it's also smoked.
Oh.
And people refer to it as one of the most distinct and outstanding whiskeys that they've ever had.
What's it called?
It's like black smoke, something like that.
Okay.
I will look it up and
okay.
add it into the to the show notes. But it's supposed to be phenomenal, but now I have no idea where to find it, and it's now my new white whale.
All right. Well, I'll find it for you as I do.
Ours too. It's our yeah. Now we're gonna be on the hunt for this thing.
I gotta read one sentence that number two says.
Okay.
Because we were all right in some ways and rich notes of honeyed citrus.
Oh,
some fruit and cinnamon and a rich roasted corn and caramel palate.
Wow.
Wow. Guys, we nailed
we
it.
We said those
if
things.
If we would have put that all together and said we were all right.
We nailed it. That's amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah, that is impressive.
All right, so I'm assuming the theme was corn whiskey.
Well, the theme was really
Texas.
To the general corniness of all of our
teams. Ah,
corny.
That's good.
Some corny whiskeys. I love it.
Thank you so much, Billy.
Knocked it out,
yeah,
Billy.
Always a pleasure.
Enjoy Venice, man.
I will. I will indeed. You guys enjoy the rest of your corn whiskey.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Billy.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow.
Oh.
What a journey.
That was fun.
Number one, the mouth feel is vicious with
yes.
a soft finish.
Oh.
Yes.
I think we said that.
We kind of said something like that where I was like, God, this is tough. And then I was just like, oh, it's
guys,
stays.
We're
going
to have to quit pretty soon. We're becoming way too good at this.
Oh. All
except
right.
for me, because I said rotten banana on the
right.
third one, and I don't think...
So, now we're going to do the infinity bottle?
Infinity bottle
yes.
time. So, the big question here, Paul, that we're going to pose to you is, which whiskey or whiskeys would you like to add to the infinity bottle?
I don't think that's a fair question to ask me, because I think all three should go in there. Like, why would you disrespect one? I mean, even this Sierra Norte turned out to be really good after
yeah,
a while. Like
after it sat,
and
I liked it.
I know that it wasn't your case, Chris, but,
yeah, but
I'm impressed
fine.
That it had the change that it did, because
yeah.
early I was like, gosh, and number two for sure.
Okay.
Number one was meh. And I think number one, number two being that they're so similar in
yeah.
All right. So let's talk
experience.
Ratios. What do you want to add more number two than the number three?
Oh, I think this is a devil's tail story.
Mm-hmm.
Just let Jack do it.
Okay. All right. We're not even going to reveal. It's just going to be a mystery concoction.
We just like
putting a little.
Number two
in there.
An amount of the, what are
True
you called?
Blue.
Heavenly, affair.
Sweet chive.
Yep.
Little sweet chive.
Little sweet chive.
Little true banana.
Little true banana.
A little corn mash sweet. Man, that one's light.
I love the true blue bottles as well. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything, but there's something really appealing about
them. So Balcones, the company that makes this, they're a Texas whiskey brand, and they are... like the leader of the pack when it comes to Texas whiskey. Like everything they make wins awards. They're
rightfully so.
It's really good.
Single malt is supposed to be amazing. Like everybody raves about all of their whiskeys. So I'm excited that we got to try it because they're all really good.
Yeah, that especially True Blue. You guys want to go get something? True Blue is. Conversation starter.
It's delightful.
All right, so I poured a little in my glass. I'm going to pass it around.
Mm-hmm. that was an enigmatic response to the Infinity bottle.
That's interesting. Mixing the scotch with the bourbons has made a very fascinating... Like, it starts out sweet, and then it has this end of, like, scotch.
It really does.
It just has a nice smooth finish.
Yeah, the end is just like, oh, scotch. All the way.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't start that way, like you said, where it's just such a smooth ride down.
It really is. It actually hangs together pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would never guess that's 12 different whiskeys or something.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's actually pretty impressive how well it hangs together.
Mm-hmm. A little bit more if you want.
And I don't know that the Sierra Norte steered us wrong. Like, it actually kind of reinforces it in an interesting way.
So that's our last glass, Chris.
So I think we can be transparent here and say that this is our, fifth episode?
Yeah.
Right? And the whole time, we've been wondering whether or not we should still do... parting glass, which is giving everyone around the table one last chance to say one last thing before the end of the episode, and we've debated it heavily,
so heavily,
and we still have no idea whether we should do it or not. So this may or not, this maybe will or maybe won't end up in the final episode. However, parting glass. What do you have to say for yourself, Jack?
I like how much one grain can completely transform and be changed. Like this on the back, it's saying aged at least 24 months. Like, that's crazy to me that like for scotch is like aged years and years and years. And we're talking about months for this guy.
Yeah.
I think I've said something similar in like the last episode, but it's reinforced in this episode how completely different, and this is all corn.
Yeah, right.
Can be.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing, pretty fantastic. So I'm saying I like whiskey.
That's crazy. Yeah, Sierra Norte is about as different as I think I've tasted thus far.
Yeah.
And
there should be a worm in it.
It does kind of have a tequila-ness to it.
That would be my last word. Sierra Norte should add a worm, and they will be the whiskey mezcal of the Northwest.
All right. Yeah. Sierra Norte, if you're listening, you have your marching orders. Man, I had a parting glass, and it just completely left me. Mm. Oh, I know what it was. Sierra Norte. Try something you don't like.
Yeah.
Try something you know you don't like, because you probably still won't like it, but it's a worthwhile experience.
So you don't like it?
I don't like it, but you know what? I would have it again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really interesting.
Native Oaxacan yellow corn.
All right. All right, gang. Thanks for listening. As always, drink slowly and get to know each other.
Cheers.
Cheers.